from, you're now in Los Angeles, I understand, but this research was done in New York City.
Correct.
Okay, great. So the title, we shall see, Preferences for STD Care. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming. So the title of the presentation is Understanding Young Men's Preferences for STI Care in a Low-Income Community Clinic Setting in New York City. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues. This was a collaboration between the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, where Heidi Jones and Carolyn Westhoff are, and the Department of Population and Family Health, where Dr. David Bell is. No disclosures to present. And just to give a bit of background about male involvement in reproductive health, I'm sure many of you are up on the topic since you're here, but there's been a growing interest in male involvement in reproductive health since the 1994 International Conference on Population and Development, which took place in Cairo. When we looked for studies related to male involvement in reproductive health, we found that the majority came from an international setting and that there were fewer studies about male involvement here in the U.S. There's some cited up there. Dr. Bruce Armstrong is working at Columbia University, and he works with the Young Men's Clinic, which is where we conducted our research. This is a clinic that's specifically for young men in Upper Manhattan. And if people are interested in finding out more about Dr. Armstrong's work or would like a bibliography, I can present that at the end of the talk. So the objectives for our study were to determine men's preferences for sexually transmitted infection management, and we looked at three domains of STI management: specimen collection, notification of test results, and partner notification and treatment. This was a cross-sectional study where self-administered anonymous surveys were given out to patients in the waiting room of the Young Men's Clinic and the complementary Women's Clinic. During the summer of 2007. The sample was 18 years of age or older, and the Young Men's Clinic is located in Upper Manhattan. Our data analysis included looking at descriptive statistics about preferences for STI sampling, notification, and partner treatment. We looked at differences in preferences by self-reported history of having ever had an STI, so we compared the two groups because we thought there might be some differences in preferences based on whether or not the respondent had ever had been diagnosed for a sexually transmitted infection. And then finally, we conducted logistic regression analyses to determine if there were specific predictors of STI management preferences. We had a 67% response rate, and our total sample was 199. So this first slide just presents some demographic statistics. The median age of the sample was 25, slightly lower for men who'd never had an STI. The vast majority of the sample was Latino, and due to the neighborhood in which the clinic is situated, the majority of the Latino population is of Dominican descent, smaller numbers of African Americans and other groups. And in terms of education, the majority of the sample had completed high school or higher. This slide presents results about sexual history. The median number of sexual partners were one in the past year and nine lifetime sexual partners. As you can see, the numbers are higher for the group who reported ever having had an STI. There was also a statistically significant difference in the percentage of men who reported having sex with other men between the two groups, 23% in the group that reported ever having an STI compared to 11% in the group who reported never having an STI. Age at first sex was, median age at first sex was 15. Condom use at last vaginal sex was about 44% for both groups and 39% for condom use at last anal sex. And of the group who reported ever having an STI, 73% reported being diagnosed with chlamydia and 73% with gonorrhea and 29% with chlamydia. And those categories obviously weren't mutually exclusive. There were some participants who reported having been diagnosed with both STIs. When we asked about preferences for urine sampling for STI infection, the majority of the sample reported that they preferred self-sampling in the clinic. A much smaller percentage for both groups reported self-sampling at home and then bringing the sample into the clinic or mailing the sample to the clinic. There was also a small percentage who preferred having a doctor collect a penile swab for STI infection sampling. And then about a third of both groups felt that it wouldn't matter what type of urine sampling they received. With regard to anal sampling for STI infection, in both groups, there was a pretty even split between three response choices: a self-collection, having a doctor collect the sample, and then saying that it wouldn't matter. And in the group that had ever had an STI, slightly higher percentage of respondents indicated that it wouldn't matter, and a smaller percentage indicated that they preferred self-selection compared to the never having had an STI group. When we looked at test result notification preferences, the majority of both groups indicated that they preferred to receive notification of STI infection by phone. Small percentage of the group who'd never had an STI indicated text message would be their preference for receiving notification, although no respondents indicated that in the group that had ever had an STI, which may reflect some confidentiality concerns among the group who had been diagnosed previously. Small percentages of email and letter being the preferred response, and then slightly higher percentages of individuals who preferred clinic contact to receive notification for their STI results. This slide represents the whole sample. There weren't statistically significant differences in preferences for partner treatment between the two groups. As you can see, about three-fourths of the sample preferred to bring their partner back into the clinic to be treated for sexually transmitted infection. About 10% indicated that they would like to take a list of clinics to their partner, 4% that they would actually take medication to their partner, which I'll talk more about in a few minutes. 2% indicated they'd like to take a prescription to their partner, and nobody indicated that they wouldn't make sure their partner was treated. All of the respondents indicated that they would use another type of way of getting their partner treatment. So we were interested in something called patient-delivered partner therapy as well, and many of you may be familiar with this treatment method, but it basically gives the index patient, or the patient who's diagnosed with a sexually transmitted infection, medication to bring to their sexual partners so that sex partners don't have to come back into the clinic to receive STI treatment. And this is something that's legal now in some states and is being used in New York City at this clinic where we conducted our research. So the vast majority of our sample in both groups indicated that they would be willing to bring medication to their partner for treatment of a sexually transmitted infection. And there was a statistically significant difference in indicating that they thought their partner would be likely to take medication if it was brought to the partner. About 95% of the respondents who reported ever having had an STI indicated that they thought their partner would take medication if it was brought to them, compared with 79% in the group that had never been diagnosed with an STI. But both of those percentages were high. And then we also asked the respondent if they would be willing to take medication that was brought by their partner if their partner was diagnosed with an STI. So this actually reflected the actual respondent's willingness to take medication delivered by a partner. And again, you see high percentages of men who reported that it was likely that they would take medication if it was brought by their partner. As I mentioned, patient-delivered partner therapy is something that's being used in the clinic where this study took place, and so we wanted to find out how many of the men in our study who'd been diagnosed with an STI had actually received this treatment method. 41, or 21% of the respondents in our sample reported having chlamydia or gonorrhea. Of those, 16 reported that they'd received patient-delivered partner therapy. And of those 16, 13 reported that their partner took the medication that they brought to their partner. So a high percentage of patients who had received patient-delivered partner therapy reported that their partners actually took the medication in this clinic setting. We wanted to look at barriers to patient-delivered partner therapy, so we asked respondents to identify from a list what they thought would be barriers to them using patient-delivered partner therapy. About 40% of patients indicated that they felt that a doctor or nurse should be the only one to give out medication. there was a statistically significant difference between the two groups in whether or not they wanted their partner to go to the clinic to receive medication as a barrier. So among the group who'd ever had an STI diagnosed, 49% said they actually wanted their partner to go back to the clinic, and that would be a barrier to PDPT, compared to 32% in the other group. And then small percentages of respondents indicated that they would be nervous to talk about an STI with their partner, that they felt that their partner wouldn't take the medication if it was brought to their partner, that their partner might physically hurt them, or that their partner might leave them, which are all very important concerns when thinking about implementing patient-delivered partner therapy. So there was some evidence that those concerns were salient for this population. And then there were about 30% in both samples that indicated that there wouldn't be any reason that they would not take medication to their partner. We conducted a logistic regression analysis to look at individual predictors of willingness to bring medication to a partner. And as you can see from the slide, we didn't find any statistically significant results here. Some of the confidence intervals for the odds ratios are very high, which may indicate large standard errors in these observations and the parameter estimates. And you may notice from a few slides back, I'm not going to try and go back because I'm afraid I won't be able to go back forward, but there were very small numbers in the group that wouldn't be willing to take medication to their partner. So when determining probabilities, predictive probabilities, the low cell counts for patients who were unwilling to bring medication to their partners was probably a reason we didn't get many statistically significant effects here. We did another set of logistic regressions to examine predictors of willingness to take medication if brought by a partner, ran into similar problems here looking at the same list of predictors. So we didn't find any statistically significant predictors for willingness to take medication brought by a partner. And so what is this all pointing to? Well, overall, 50% of the men preferred to provide a urine sample at the clinic. However, 28%, which is a significant portion of the sample, reported that it wouldn't matter to them how their STI sample was collected for urine sampling. Respondents were evenly divided about anal sampling method between self-sample, doctor-collected sample, and that other choice about it wouldn't matter what type of sampling they received for anal STI infection. Two-thirds of respondents preferred to receive their test results by cell phone, but a third of the patients preferred other methods. So what we conclude from the diversity in these responses, even though there are some preferences that are emerging, is that it's important to give men options related to STI testing and notification. And then in terms of patient-delivered partner therapy, over 80% of the respondents, as I said, were likely to bring medication to their partners and take medication brought by their partners. Over 80% of respondents reported that they felt that their partners would be likely to take medication if it were brought to them. And so from these results, we determined that men are amenable to patient-delivered partner therapy as a method of STI treatment, and that introducing patient delivered partner therapy into clinical settings where it's not currently available may help to decrease STI transmission. And I just have a few acknowledgments. The William and Flora Hewlett Foundation provided the funding to support this project. And of course, I want to thank the patients and the staff of the Young Men's Clinic at Columbia University for all of their help in carrying out the study and the patients' willingness to participate in this research. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Ian. Are there any questions? Please, Anne.
Thank you. I wish that Carolyn Westhoff or David Bell, the clinicians on the study, were here to answer that question. I probably shouldn't comment on the clinic protocol because I don't know for sure. But I can definitely put you in touch with Carolyn or David and let you know. That's an excellent question.
Anybody else? Well, thank you. I think it's an interesting presentation. Perhaps I'm not really up to date on current provider practice around these issues or what is published, but if you can, I think it'd be interesting to see that this kind of flexibility could be, you know, given over to providers in other clinics, because I think the Young Men's Clinic is obviously an exceptional place in terms of its applications to young men and their issues. But yes, I encourage you to publish it.
Yes,
if your clinician thinks it's worthwhile.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's move along. Next presentation.